Thanks, worship team. Is your mom a keeper? You can kind of view that from two perspectives. One's kind of condescending. I mean, my boys remind my wife every now and then that if she cooks a particularly good breakfast, that her job is safe for that day, right? We'll keep her around. That's kind of a way to say that he thinks he'll keep her, or I think I'll keep you, or yes, you're a keeper. I mean, that talk speaks, in a condescending kind of a way, a backhanded kind of a way of how much we value perhaps our moms. But I want you to think about that from a different perspective. I want you to think about that from the perspective of, is your mom a keeper from the things that she keeps? Because all the moms that I know keep stuff. They keep things. They if you were to go back to my home in Madisonville, Kentucky, there's a whole building now erected. There's a whole building now erected that sits right behind my house. My dad and mom have kind of enshrined stuff that belonged to my brother, my sister, and myself. You can walk in the garage and see my sister's fully restored 1987 Z28 Camaro. You can walk up the steps and see various pictures of me throughout different stages of my life. You can turn the corner and walk and see various things. There's a collection of Furbies. Oh, you remember Furbies? There's a collection of Furbies. There's like a 1968 Winnebago, Sears and Roebuck Winnebago toy, fully equipped with little figures. There's a horse trailer and a dually pickup where I used to put toy horses in the back of that and kept that. There's a collection of baseball gloves that kind of marked my career as a baseball player and my sister as a softball player. It's just kind of a museum that's dedicated to stuff. Why do moms do this, right? Now, my mom is not a hoarder. She's not that bad. Every now and then, she throws stuff out, although my wife would say probably not nearly enough. But there are stuff that needs to go, obviously, through the way. But my wife, in the same way, she keeps things. Each one of my sons have a box with his name on it. And I think this is David Henry's second one now. David Henry has two because by the time you get to four children, you don't really keep a whole lot of stuff. And so, you're lucky to find a picture somewhere along the way that marks the fact that he was indeed born. So we're playing catch up a little bit with David Henry in that we put stuff in here. My wife's got cards and clippings and ribbons and things like that that commemorate that. Why does my wife do that? Well, if you were to ask my wife, why have you done that? She's like, well, I'm doing this to give to his wife someday. Because my wife, I'm sure, their wives, I'm sure, will be the ones that throw this stuff out. I'm not going to be the one. I'm not going to be the one that throws this stuff out. I'm keeping this stuff. I think she's keeping it to remind my future and daughter-in-laws that they loved her first. And we can't blame them, right? I mean, you think about some of the stuff that your mom has kept over the course of your life. Why do they do that? And has it always been that way? Well, I invite you to look with me to the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to jump into that chapter in Luke chapter 2. If you've got your Bibles, get one. We're going to have some verses up on the screen for you to see here in a moment, but I would love for you to read through Luke, this section of Luke 2 with me. We're going to begin reading in verse 21. And this jumps into the story that we don't seem to ever read because it's right after the Christmas story. It's one of those unfamiliar passages that we just kind of skip over or gloss over. It's the only place in the Bible where we get a look at the childhood of the Lord Jesus. In verse 21 of Luke chapter 2, Luke says, 8 days later, that's 8 days after Jesus was born, as it was customary, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus. The name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says that if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you promised, or which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. He is the glory of your people, Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about their son. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will also be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple that day. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee, and there the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. Now, fast forward a few years. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up at evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. And then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things. She kept all of these things. She treasured all of these things in her heart. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, the word before us is your word, and I pray that you would have your way with us. That is, as it is proclaimed here this morning, that through this memory of Mary, as it was given to Luke, Father, we might also be inspired and challenged today for Jesus' sake. Amen. That verse I want you to think about with me this morning, just for a few moments, is that verse in Luke chapter 2 and down in verse 51, I believe it is. "And his mother stored all these things in her heart." Not a box, but her heart. I want to give you three observations that I think about this passage today, maybe that you've never considered on this Mother's Day, and hopefully this will maybe leave you a little more inspired as you leave here today. The first reality I see here is this, is that moms are keepers because they want to remember you. Moms are keepers because they want to remember you. Mary stored this stuff in her heart because she wanted to remember Jesus. Why? Because you and I know that as we have children, what the children don't know, we know, and that childhood passes by so quickly. I mean, even think about it here. We make a leap from the birth of Jesus to the time he's 12 years old. I mean, and it goes by like that, doesn't it? Not doesn't when you're a kid, right? When you're a kid, Christmas is forever, right, in the future. You wait for it forever. Your father looks at you when you're 10 and says, one of these days you're going to get to cut the grass. And to a 10-year-old boy, that means everything. To a 15-year-old boy, it means nothing. But to a 10-year-old boy, it's like, when? When can I do that? My Darren's with me today. He just turned 13 this last week. And Darren now has the privilege, the responsibility of cutting the grass, of learning how to cut the grass. And right now, it's still cool to him, right? But when you're 10 years old and your dad says, no, you can't cut the grass till you're 13, he's like, 2 years? Come on, I have facial hair. I'll be shaving then. What do you mean to cut the grass? I'll be cutting whiskers. I don't mean cut grass. 2 years, that's forever. But as moms and dads, we know it goes like that. So we keep stuff. And usually moms and dads have different philosophies of this, right? Moms and dads, moms want to take a picture of everything. They want to video everything. They want to chronicleize everything. And dads, we don't do anything, but we just kind of watch and we kind of say, you know, we're kind of tucking this away in our memory just for that. We don't want to miss the moment. That's my excuse for not wanting to operate a camera. I don't want to miss the moment to take it all in, right? But moms keep all this stuff. They keep stuff to remember the lives of their children because their lives go by so quickly. They keep baby teeth that fall out. They keep locks of hair from your first haircut. They keep countless pieces of Sunday school artwork. They keep report cards. They keep newspaper clippings. They keep that stinky cast that was cut off your arm when you broke it in third grade. They keep grade school science projects, no matter how cumbersome they would be in your husband's garage, but they keep those out there because you might want to look at them one day and remember that. They keep personal cards from their children that commemorate birthdays and Mother's Days. I'm convinced that moms keep these, especially for their sons. Again, to kind of present to their daughters-in-law one day to say, you know what? You weren't the first woman in his life. They keep drawings. They keep photos. Some moms keep your first pair of shoes. I came from a time when they used to dip little baby booties in bronze or some sort of alloy, and it would preserve the first baby booties. I saw a woman in the 8 o'clock service. She said, I have 4 sets of those still today. They keep locks of hair, again, from your first haircut, the hospital band that was wrapped around your tiny wrist when you came home from the hospital, just to make sure that you were the right one they brought home. They keep your handprints and your footprints. My wife made for me. I treasured it. It's in my office. She fired some plates where my sons took painted handprints and pressed together on each plate belonging to a son of mine. They keep school reports, old toys, like I said. I'm quite convinced that one of my sons probably have kept all the candy wrappers. I'm sure we find them all over my house. We have no idea when this candy was eaten, but they strategically hide it, and then they strategically hide the wrappers because they know it's incriminating at this point if they throw the wrappers away. Moms are keepers because they want to remember you. Moms are also keepers because they want you remembered. Moms are also keepers because they want you remembered. When you think about this story that Luke's telling here, this only account we have of the boyhood life of Jesus, have you ever thought, where did he get that? Where did he get that? He tells us in the first chapter when he's writing his introduction in verse 1, he says, many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. Many people have, Luke said. They used eyewitness reports circulating among us from the earliest followers of Jesus, the disciples. Look at verse 3. Having carefully investigated, Luke says, he's a physician, y'all. He's a scientist, as early as a scientist could be. Luke is a physician. He's detailed. He wants to see the evidence. Luke says, I carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so that you can be certain of the truth of everything that you were taught. Where did Luke get this? Luke, in his research, at some point, sits down with Mary. You think, okay, well, she was alive at the crucifixion of her son. She was there with Jesus at his death. We know she was there and heard after the resurrection. We know that she was alive then. We know that she was alive in the earliest stages of the church as it moves over into Acts. We know that she's living during that time. At some point in Jesus' life, before he was probably even before he even went on to his ministry, somewhere before the age of 30 perhaps, we know his father was no longer in the picture. Joseph had died, but his mother lived. And she lived long enough, more than likely, to sit down with Luke and begin to tell the story of Jesus as a child. You can almost hear her say, as Luke is writing this, you could almost hear Mary's pauses. You can almost hear her say, you know, there was this time when we went up to the temple. There was this time that we took him and we presented him there, and he, you know, just right after his circumcision, and there was this prophet there by the name of Simeon, and he prophesied over Jesus, and there was this lady there who had stayed in there, and her name was Anna. You can almost hear her telling the very early infancy of Jesus as it moved past just the manger. And then you can, of course, see her roll her eyes as she goes, and there was this one year, he was 12, when we went up to the Passover, and, oh, I'm a horrible mom. You can just hear her, like, you know, what mother leaves their child on vacation? You thought Kevin McAllister from Home Alone was that kid. No, Mary, of all people, and Joseph leave Jesus as he's there in Jerusalem. 3 days later, they find him in the temple. It's interesting that Mary remembers this because at the age of 12 would have been the year that Jesus would have begun to prepare for his 13th birthday, because it was at 13 when all Jewish boys would have been examined for their bar mitzvah. They would have become a son of the commandment in that culture, where they would have assumed responsibility at the age of 13. You think cutting the grass is a large responsibility? You had the religious responsibility to know the Torah at 13 as a religious young man in Jerusalem. So it was not uncommon at all for a 12-year-old to begin preparation for that examination. That is more than likely what was going on there. And Jesus was so good at it at the age of 12 that the teachers and the leaders surrounding him in that place weren't even aware that his mom and dad weren't present. They were just enthralled with the capacity of the child. I mean, it's kind of like, it was in Mary's own way, it's kind of like Mary was telling Luke, well, he made the honor roll that year. Why? Because moms are keepers. Moms want to remember you. And moms are keepers because they want you remembered. I see this evidence perhaps no greater than with mothers who have lost children. Mothers who have had children pass away. Even my own mom in the passing of my little brother wants my little brother remembered. And my mom takes great steps in her life. As long as she's living, I am absolutely certain that my brother's memory will not be forgotten. And some of you know moms that way as well. You don't want your children ever forgotten. And so Mary, perhaps in this context, as a mom who has a son who obviously in his role resurrected and ascended to his heavenly father, is not with her in the same capacity that he was with her when he walked upon the earth. And perhaps as unique as it could be to a mom, she doesn't want her child forgotten. So she's a keeper. And she reaches into her heart and she begins to share all these things that are very special to her as the mother of Jesus. But again, it's not unlike you. It's not unlike any of you in this congregation this morning who are moms. You want to remember your children when they were little and as they grew up, and you want other people to remember them as well. But there's a third and final observation that I want to make with you about this passage, and perhaps it's the most applicable to us here today. Moms are keepers because they want you to remember. They want you to remember as the child. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, that proverb that Jesus would have known. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace. What you learn from them will be like a chain of honor around your neck. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Remember. Remember the things that she passes on to you. And wear them. For in wearing them, you will be able then to pass that legacy on to your own children. I love the fact that even at my age, I can walk back home. I don't go back home very often at all, but I can walk back home or walk around people that haven't seen me for decades, perhaps, and they'll look at me and they'll go, "You're that Beaver kid. You're Mike's boy. I can tell by the way you walk. I can tell by the way you talk. I can tell by your mannerisms. You wear the mannerisms of your dad." Now that may scare my wife to death, but but for people who know my dad, know that I wear that. I carry that. I carry the instruction of my mom. I carry those things with me that was passed on to me, even by my grandmother. I wear those things. I carry those things. And those things that are respectable often bring respect and respectful remarks. When we wear this because we've been given that, it's often the result of a grandmother or of a mom who was a keeper, who've now entrusted these things to you. Paul kind of applies this. He takes Proverbs and he applies this in his letter to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, in verse 14 of chapter 3, Paul says to Timothy, "Timothy, you must remain faithful to the things that you've been taught. You know they are true, Timothy, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, Timothy. And they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." How does Paul know this? Well, if you back up to chapter 1, you see in verse 5 how Paul knows that. He says, "I remember, Timothy, your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith, Timothy, continues strong in you. And it continues strong in you because your mom and your grandmom was a keeper." Moms are keepers because they want you to remember. There's a lot of things about my childhood that I don't remember. But one of the things that's forever etched on my life is at the age of 12, I wasn't neglected. I wasn't in the temple talking with a bunch of teachers, but I was on a gurney on a hospital bed. In a waiting room, ready to go in and have surgery. They were going to put me to sleep. I didn't know what that was like. I was in this gown. I was completely naked in this gown. I'm like, this is terrifying. It was cold. And I can still remember feeling the shivers. And my mom came in that waiting room after they had me prepped, and she came up beside me, and she held my hand. And I remember I can still feel the warmth of my mom's hand. And it was there in that moment that everything that I'd seen casually in my mom, from the times that she'd taken me to church, from the times that she had tried to, you know, lead us devotionally and as a family, it was there in that moment that all of that came to an application that was as specific in me that I'd ever known in my life. My mom, from memory, recited the 23rd Psalm. And she prayed for me. And it was perhaps the most vivid account in my life of where everything that my mom had kept from her own upbringing, for everything that had been shared with her and passed down to her, that she began to wear it in front of me on that cold, rolling metal piece of death. And my terror absolutely subsided. And I began to feel the faith that welled up in me that my mom had placed there by her example. Oh, there's a lot of stuff I wish my mom didn't keep. There's a lot of stuff I just assume she'd throw away. But I'm glad my mom's a keeper. Are you a keeper? What's in you? What are you holding on to? What are you possessing that you're going to pass down to the children that come in contact with you? For this day, it's no surprise that for this day, it's a hard day for many women who want to be moms and yet are not. For many women who have lost children or lost their own mom, their own mother's not with them today. But we keep. We keep the things that have been faithfully passed on to us, that we might wear them, if not in front of them physically, in testimony to what has been given to us. Mary was a keeper. She was a keeper because she wanted to remember Jesus. She was a keeper because she wanted him remembered. And she was a keeper because moms want you to remember. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word and the examples of people in your word. As we leave this place today, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be mindful of what you've called us to live out as a part of that legacy that has been handed down to us by grandmothers and moms throughout the decades. And for those of us who didn't have that, I thank you for the family of God that can transfer that experience onto those without that kind of legacy. And that, Father, there are women in this place today who will become keepers of those treasures as the first in their families. Let it be so, I pray, as we leave here today, remembering these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, folks. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. (Clears throat)